we talked about the news, and I tend to spell that with a K at the beginning. That what you know, that what you knew, and then the news as the old information. I use that word because when people talk about the news, the new information, I distrust much of that. That probably is because when I grew up, my parents listened to the news a lot, and I was aware that that was about wars a lot. In fact, it was about problems a lot, and was hardly ever, if ever, about solutions. And so I, at some point, realized that the news media, as they call it, didn't make me happy, didn't make me feel well. And a friend of mine at some point told me that the advertising space after the news is more expensive than the advertising space before the news on radio and television, because after the news, people are so knocked out that they are highly programmable. They're in a knocked out and susceptible mindset. So whatever is presented to them after the news sort of goes into the leaky membrane of their mind, because they have been so knocked out by information which in fact doesn't help anybody. In the program project of Planting Paradise, I actually created a section which is called Good News, which is based on actual experience of people. Anybody who invents somebody can present it. Anybody who was able to help somebody can present it. Anybody who notices a problem where help is needed can identify that. And anytime such problems arise, then the news is actually not the problem, but how people mobilize themselves to find solution. Which people have experience with what happened, which people have tools or implements which can help alleviate or prevent the problem. Once the problem has been identified, what help can be offered, and how can the people locally be trained to help themselves? And more importantly, once problems have been resolved, what can be done to prevent them? Yes, there are many people who choose to live by the seashore, where every now and then a tsunami will come by and will basically erase all of the buildings up to 30 or 50 kilometers inland, depending on how flat the countryside is. And yes, there are people who like to live at the edge of the cliff, even though they know that every now and then a mudslide or an earthquake will shake, rattle and roll the whole thing to come toppling down. And all of the information of all of these hazard sites on Earth are known. It's known where the cyclones will pass. It is known where the frost will actually linger too long for harvest to be able to be collected. It's just a matter of educating people so that they know which areas are such a risk area, and that if they choose to live there, that they then take the precautions so that if there is damage, it's actually minimal. In Japan, they know that they are on earthquake zones, so they learned how to build their housing in such a way that an earthquake will not flatten it. There are many people areas in, for example, California, where people still do not build houses with which are earthquake proof, while it doesn't cost much more to do so. Likewise, in Florida, there are still people who do not build their housing so that's tornado hurricane proof, even though the technology on how to do that already exists, and it's not that much more expensive than building a house, and it's certainly a lot cheaper than building two or three or four houses. So news is actually about learning from our life environment, so that we can identify places where there is more risk, but that we can combine them with solutions to actually resolve or prevent those risks. And evidently, you could avoid to live in those kind of areas altogether. But yes, of course, there is this other side of humanity. Humanity does like to live on the edge or at the edge, because inherently we all know that with the slight change of circumstances, life on Earth could be very different. We all intuitively, or maybe consciously, know that Earth is but a balloon with a skin as thick of the skin of a balloon, basically with a diameter of 40,000 kilometers, but still a very thick crust with a very understood underlayer and a very high mobility of the surface crusts as they move with respect to each other. And we also all know that the Earth core may be unknown to us, like a swimmer ignoring how deep the water is underneath and how many fish do or do not swim there. Likewise, we are ignorant of what goes on under the crust of the Earth. But likewise, we are still all too much ignorant about what the weather is and what the ionosphere is. People now believe in the weather forecast that there is a possibility to predict what kind of weather there will be, most of it based on past records, very little based on the records of the past month and weeks, and a tiny fraction of it based on what's actually going on in the moment. So when you have weather predictions for 1 or 2 or 3 days ahead, what kind of news value is that? Because if you live in that area, you would already know, or you should already know, what kind of weather there would be. And you would have already learned that around that mountain, when the wind comes from this side, the weather changes in one way. When it comes around the other side, it changes in the other way. You would know when the cooling down, when the heating up would be. And so you look at the environment and you know the weather. And as I have separately described in the story on the rain dance, there are very many people who know that they actually do have a kind of measure of weather control. If they need good weather, there will be good weather. And that seems to be outside of the weather map predictions. So when we look at news in general, then we have the problem areas and we have the weather areas. Sports for me is not news. It's I don't even consider it entertainment. Sports is something that you do because it's a physical exercise, something you do with others or you do by yourself, depending on if you want to train your own body or your own mind, and you go to marathon running or something where you can certainly feel your own body in your own rhythm, or that rather you would like to have the experience to do things together with other people and go for a team sport. But then still, spectator sport is actually a distraction. And when you look at the news media, you can find that in most cases, when there are so-called top sport competitions, be it world championship or Olympic games, then very often those are used as a distraction for political decisions which are taking place at the same time and which are actually put on the agenda to coincide with those games, so that people are distracted and do not pay attention to the politics that is being shifted. While everybody thinks that somebody is winning or losing in a game is interesting news, which it is not. Yes, it shows that we can do it, but how much does it help you to do it? So, sports for me is not news. Likewise, stock exchange for me is not news, because stock exchange mainly means that people are gambling money into companies at a false promise. So at the moment that the company needs money and say that they will pay a lot for getting the money, which they do in giving shares into the company. So you get a lot of share for a little money if the company needs money, and that basically means that the shares are cheap. Or the company doesn't need much money, so they don't get much shares for the money, and basically the shares are expensive. But that is not much more than a gambling or maybe even a hit and run driver kind of solution of people putting money on the horse that runs fastest. And at the moment that the horse slows down, then they take away their money, which basically could lead to the bankruptcy of such a company. And then they put the money elsewhere. So they're always pumping money into something which then seems to grow. And at the moment that a stability and growth has been achieved, then these money gamblers run off again. So for me, the financial parts of the newspaper or news are basically about the parasitic effects of people wanting to make money off money. And money has not ever been meant to serve for that purpose. And a lot of the ills of society come out of this abuse of money, making money from money, and thereby losing value by pretending to give value. Because in that case, giving money is not giving value. So for me, as in the case of the news, finding the problems, bringing in the solution, and learning from the solutions. Likewise, in the money business, it would be which companies are starting up and need money, or do they need people, or do they need materials, or do they need housing? Are the people who still have housing? Is there a company which stopped but left the housing behind? Or is there an area where there are a lot of people who would really like to do something? Then that would be the investment. So not an investment of money, but an investment of people joining in the process. Because for me, corporations are an ill, and cooperations are a self-solving solution. Because in cooperations, the effort that is put in always comes out in the process. It's not creamed off to people elsewhere who run off with a profit and don't actually care if the company survives, yes or no. Many of the corporations suffer that problem. Cooperations never have that, because the investment is by the knowledge people have, the work that people do, the space that people can provide, and the materials that people can share and contribute. So then, from having had the problems, the sports, the finances, the politics for me in the news is not interesting either. I've been involved in a couple of political activities. I was the student representative in a couple of the universities where I was, and I realized that you can clamor a bit and then people will vote, because what intrigued me is that I had one or two persons come up to me to ask me what I intended to do with my position in this case the university faculty if I were elected. Basically, those were friends who wondered how it would be if I were there. Once I was there, of course, I discovered that I was given a big envelope with too many papers to read in 3 or 4 days. I realized that all of the other people were not having the time to read all of that, so they would not have read all of it. I did take the time to read all of that, and still I discovered that in quite a number of cases the decisions had already been taken and the vote was actually a sham vote. So generalizing that from university politics to corporate politics or to church politics or to state politics, the principle is the same. That people cannot represent all others, because they will not have all of the information, they will not have spoken with all others, they will not know the opinions and the views and the ideals of others, so they can only speak for themselves. And in that sense, representative politics is essentially misrepresentative politics. So if that's the case, then the question is, what is the purpose of media, the news, apart from the entertainment value? Entertainment value, of course, is two-sided. Just like people go to the movies to be inspired, or some people go to the movies to be horrified, a lot of the news media input is at the level of horrifying people, telling them what's wrong without providing a solution, or giving them a view on a situation where something cannot be resolved. And in the past, there used to be a tendency to have different people giving different opinions so that a larger perspective could be obtained on what was going on. But nowadays, it is very often either a state propaganda view, as you would find in the United States and Russia, some other countries, or it would be a corporate interest, very often disguised, as sometimes you can feel in, it would be so good to have this new telephone communication grid, ignoring what effect it has on the life on Earth. And so by the loss of perspective of different views, people are essentially blinded. And that's also what I find, for example, when I look at the politics of the United States of America. They have a two-party system, which is actually a one-party system with two different jackets. It has also been called the Pepsi-Cola, Coca-Cola wars. Essentially, it's just the same with a different label. But when people can vote for it, they actually do not get anything different. And in the American politics, you can see that the baseline of what is changed is always the same, and it continues from the one policy to the next, regardless if they're Republicans or Democrats. And the flavor of the Republicans and Democrats would be called capitalist versus communist, but they always get a sort of 50-50 vote. So at the moment that people cannot make up their mind which of two perspectives is more important, then essentially there are no two different perspectives, and it's just a one-party politics. In countries where you have multiple party politics, often there is something in place by which the multiple party politics is crippled right from the start. For example, I grew up in the Netherlands, and they have a so-called democratic system, which means that they can have 30 parties or more. And yes, they can be outspokenly different. Some might be religious, some might be financial, some might be political, some might be interest groups of different kinds. That there is a limitation by which people are able to start a political party. They need to have an amount of money in the bank. You would ask, why do you need to have money to be active in politics? Because politics is a sharing of ideals, so why would that be dependent on money? It should not be. And once you see how the machinery then works, then you can see that there are so-called laws defining what a political party can be, what a political party can do, how they should operate, which means that all of those political parties essentially should operate in the same way. And then there are other laws on how the political parties can relate to each other, and that relationship to other political parties is essentially in the first and the second house of government, which you could also call the private and the public aspect of government, or the, let's say, the financial and the social aspects of government. But then you discover that the people who can get into that system already have gone through a series of filters, as a result of which only very few will actually have the interest or the inclination to go through a filter system which actually leaves them so limited in what they can do and so polarized in how they can do it, that most sensible people would actually not want to do that. And that in that sense, being a politician, like being a journalist, is a career. It's something that people choose to be because they want to have a specific relationship in that hierarchy versus other people. Journalists are like the music critics. They can have an opinion about it, but they cannot perform the music. And the journalists have an opinion about the politics, but they cannot actually do the politics. While the politicians are in a kind of halo of being protected from the rest of humanity, and often you can see that they actually can make rules for others which do not apply to themselves, the so-called immunity standard or status of the politicians. So if the media is an extension of the politics of the country, then it's really necessary to understand what defines the politics, to which extent corporate, that is financial important groups, define the politics, or beliefs or cliques, those are the so-called religious interests in politics. You also have the interest groups, also called the professions, which is then most often the main party line of politics. But you also find that there is a family lineage in politics. If you look in the United States, most of the presidents are all related to each other. And often you find that in Europe, political leaders are a family clique who have an interest which seems to be separate from that of other people. And that, to me, is then also the connection between politics and the media. That the media is just one of the instruments that the underlying political groups use to further their own interest, which you can also call self-interest. So religion is used for that purpose. So the priest says that the president is the leader chosen by God, and then of course the president or the king says that the pope or the minister is the representative of God. So the one says that the other gives them the entitlement to be who they are, but essentially they are just two people making claims on behalf of the one side God and on the other side the population, which they are not. So once you look behind that, and that's a bit of the Wizard of Oz, who's the guy behind the curtain story, then you see that there is a structure in politics which uses religions and the media and in fact control of communication and control on weapons as a method to organize a culture. And what intrigues me is that in the media there are no actual solutions for problems which are really often necessary. And likewise in schooling there is no awareness of how politics can actually and actively be done. Because when you look at the basis of it, politics always starts with individuals having good ideas, being able to communicate them with others, then by contagious health extending that understanding to other people, as a result of which all people for which it is relevant can apply that. And once you start to look into legal systems and financial systems, then you can say the legal system offers a series of constraints rather than pathways for enhancement of society, and that likewise the financial system offers constraints by a limit of the amount of money rather than offering an incentive for investment in society. And that is also where I stopped having an interest in the news media. At that time I didn't know it. I intuitively felt that there was something wrong. It was only later that I realized how news and the media were being manipulated. Only later that I realized how in the United States the banks bought up the news stations and first the newspapers, then the radio and television, and that essentially they only need to pollute 3% of the information stream by putting information in or leaving information out, as a result of which people will get a wrong impression about what's going on and will respond and will act on their wrong information. But if there's a group of people who is so intent on giving people the wrong information, then of course you cannot aspire to have a society or a humanity in which all people can live to their optimal capacity. So that's where it would be really interesting to redefine the media as a solution oriented instrument, and to redefine politics as a mutual beneficial instrument, and likewise replace dogmatic religious institutions by institutions through which people can know that they share the same ideas and ideals, and that they can express and develop and act on a deeper realization of the connectedness that we have between all of us and between ourselves and nature and the planet as a whole. And that for me is the essence of the news media, that they are in most instances institutes of disinformation and misinformation, and what is needed is information which people can actually rely on and can act on, and a system of information sharing which goes way beyond news into something where people can actually turn news in a kind of academia, but also a kind of cooperation or a mutual benefit association, that people can identify the problems, they can resolve the problems, they can analyze the problems, and they can learn to prevent the problems. And in that case, every problem which is broadcast on the news can then be followed up. This was the problem, there was a flooding there. It's 4 hours later. Bridges have been put in place so that the people can now travel again. 8 hours later, everybody now has a roof, so everybody can sleep well. A day later, yes, everybody did have food all the time, and the food supplies in and to the area are restored. A day later, 2 days later, we now know what caused this flood, and actually most often it is overbuilding in a river bedding. So we now have moved the area where people can build outside of the floodable area, and water barriers are in place for the areas nearest to the housing, so that flooding will never come again. A couple of months later, a study report on how the economics and the food supply and the work creativity of the area has been restored. A year later, a verification that everything is indeed now resolved. And then from there, a publication which can go out to any area which has the same kind of setting or risk for inundation, that they now know how they can prevent that. And that in that way, the problem of flood will not have to come back. The problem of an avalanche will now be resolved, will not happen again, that it creates damage for people, from of etc etc etc. And in that way, then the media, the university, politics and real life actually become one integrated system. And at that point, everybody knows that they can trust the media, that when there is something, they can input it in the media. They know that it will be researched. They know that it can be resolved. And they know that in future, this can be prevented. And that, for me, would be the simple solution for... that's where the word knews of that what we knew is replaced by a studying environment, a learning environment, a collaboration environment, a paradise planter environment. And it's so easy to do.